Hello? Hello? Windows on the world. Yes, a few problems here today. Seem to have a lot of problems when we try and get on air at Windows Towers here in the UK. And actually, I'm getting a call now from the producer. Okay, can you hear me?
I think now we're okay. And I think I've been answered by yes. The producer, yes, okay. So, yeah, welcome to Windows on the World. Today I'm going to have a guest, Clive Menzies from the UK. And we're going to be talking about the Age of Plunder, which is upon us. There is no doubt. Report around Labour leader Keir Starmer. This is the first story of the day. And we're going to get onto that, first of all. Because this is the sort of trigger conversely to the UK government, and of course had this crisis. We had a crisis in the Labour Party for the last few years before Jeremy Corbyn was finally ejected, and the crisis was over alleged anti-Semitism, which actually never materialised and kept all the quiet. But there has been a resurgence today. In the UK, the corporate bought-and-owned Labour leader, Keir Starmer, it says here, has once again proved that the UK is a minor partner in its own affairs. As if this was not blatantly obvious from looking at Boris Johnson and the Three Stooges being held hostage in the House of Commons by, yes, Bill Gates, the World Health Organization, and their employees, and, of course, Imperial College, Oxford University, the pharma cartel, and more, we are officially, wait for it, we are officially in a second wave of Twitter-based anti-Semitism creation. Yes, as we learned, Rebecca Long Bailey, the UK Shadow Education, or basically Indoctrination Secretary, has been fired from the Shadow Cabinet over, wait for it, an anti-Semitic tweet. Now, we are sort of diving into the depths of trivia here, but it's kind of indicative of the way that the UK actually prioritises things of absolutely no importance. So, okay, here we go. Labour leader Keir Starmer has sacked Rebecca Long Bailey as Shadow Bakery. She retweeted an article that was deemed anti-Semitic, according to several reports. Oh, there she! Never again! Who streets? Our streets! No justice, no peace! Hate has no place in our communities. What vile slur has been uttered by this harlot? Well, we're going to find out. Long Bailey removed Shadow Bakery today after she reposted an article that claimed the US policeman that killed George Floyd had learnt the tactics in Israel. Now, this is, of course, the fact that the policeman was leaning against the neck of this person. And this is a known tactic that was taught by the Israeli security forces to both British and American police. So I think we're in the realms of fact here. But we will not tolerate hate-filled facts in the UK. What do we want? Yes, Twitter justice. When do we want it? Yes, now. She said, systematic racism is a global issue. This is Rebecca Long Bailey. The tactics used by the police in America, kneeling on George Floyd's neck, that was learned from seminars with Israeli secret services. Long Bailey retweeted the article, attacking Pete, this is the person who actually brought this up in the Independent newspaper, is an absolute diamond. The Independent, it says here, has since removed the paragraph in question. A spokesman for Keir Starmer said this afternoon, Keir Starmer asked Rebecca Long Bailey to step down from the Shadow Cabinet. They said the article Rebecca shared earlier today contained an anti-theory, otherwise known as a fact. So, in the UK, if you take facts whatsoever, you are likely to be demonised by the bootlickers of the major. Now, Keir Starmer is a useful idiot, Labour leader. a bit dry. The Labour leader is a compliant servant who will never bend over for his owners. Well, this report, will I get another article on Hope Not Hate for actually mentioning this? Hope Not Hate is this organisation in the UK which actually targets people who go against the official narrative, or even the unofficial narrative. But yes, the resurgence of anti-Semitism, or basically stating a publicly available fact in the Labour Party, comes after the investigation into alleged anti-Semitism, which has just been sort of concluded and dribbled away, failed to find any, and also after Jeremy Corbyn was disposed of course, by his owners. This is the previous leader of the Labour Party, before Mr. Starmer, a friend of the City of London, and his controllers was put into the leadership role. But to be fair, the whole issue actually went into the background for at least a couple of hours. Although Long Bailey was a complete idiot, and she is intellectually deficient, in my opinion. Well, to put it politely, even by New Labour standards. But in this case, it doesn't mean she was wrong. But ignorance of the unwritten law of UK politics is no excuse. Another one bites the dust. I'm sure there'll be another one soon. But then again, there's plenty of useful idiots queuing up to be in these roles. These roles, of course, which are merely to facilitate the influence of the puppet masters. We'll get into that a bit later, I think. We've got more to say on that. My guest today is Clive Menzies. But first of all, we're going to go to Global Governance HQ. Yes, the United Nations. Did you know, dear listener, that today the United Nations broadcasted to the whole world through YouTube to micro, small businesses? Well, aren't the UN, along with their specialised agencies, destroying small businesses with their COVID business plan? Well, if you want to hear the world's sustainable climate neutrality and gender equality, resilient and diverse, spouted by cadaverous drones with faces suitable only for administration, have a look at the video. Yes, it's on YouTube. Okay, so this event, though, is not the new normal. In fact, it's not normal, it never will be. If there was any excuse to rid the world of the UN, look no further than the coded crap being spewed by these personality-deficient, bought-out biological robots. Yes, the participants read out their monotonous, insipid, but totalitarian monologues at the expense of everyone listening. It was that bad. I did listen to it earlier on today. Nothing really of use to small, micro, or even medium-sized businesses was uttered by any of these drones. The post-crisis recovery never looked so bad. If you're feeling depressed, it could be the last straw. So for those of you who are feeling vulnerable, do not watch it. They really do say nothing and everything, which is what sustainable development really is. They say everything and nothing. And actually, that's a quote from Enrico Giovanni, who stated at the World Global Governance Summit in 2019 that sustainable development, what does it mean? Everything and nothing. Yes, those dreary enforcers of global misery have reduced their own vocabulary to that of a, well, let's say a less competent parrot. You know, drone after drone fails to address anything of any importance to the small or medium-sized businesses who they could never address, as they are the drones of the UN administration who would not know an idea if it lay down in front of them and tripped them up. But they talk of public-private partnerships, refugees, infiltration of countries, and, of course, yes, sustainability, diverse communities, and resilience. They really are the enemy of all and the friend of no one, the UN. The people they have displaced, though, are being used as a weapon and a driving mechanism for the nefarious goals of the Sustainable Development 17 goals of 17 Goals of Sustainable Development. But let's get on to something else before we bring in Clive. Will the UK have riots on the back of the Black Lives Matter operation? Chaos in Brixton. This is from the Daily Mail today. Priti Patel slams utterly vile scenes that saw Met police overpowered and forced to flee the streets after a mob screaming, "Run them out!" injure 22 officers and smash up a patrol car after a block party descends into a mini riot. So, yes, what we have here is the Black Lives Matter
engineered kind of civil unrest, which has been so prevalent in the United States and is now kicking off here by the look of it. The useful idiots are all in place to join in, or so it seems. So the victims, subversive LGBT, yes, the stabilization group, Black Lives Matter. Well, that's exactly what it is, because it says so on their website, and we also reported on that the other day. There will be more to come in London as the useful idiots take instruction from their masters. You can count on it. The easily triggered will be used for maximum effect. It's so simple, leading the simple-minded, ladies and gentlemen. The police were wearing masks as well, which made them look even more vulnerable and stupid. And the triggered gang who attacked them were not. The police look like muzzled dependents. This is psychological manipulation. This video could get the ball rolling in getting the summer riots going in the UK. There's a video of it, basically, of these people smashing up a police car. And what this is doing is inciting this into the minds of the easily triggered people who will start riots. The last time we had this in London was 2011, and it spread all over London and all over the UK within 24 hours. The message that the police are not able to cope is now out there. The useful idiots will act accordingly and riot just like they are instructed to do. This is energy harvesting, and it's a distraction all in one. So another reason to have a full lockdown, and that's even before the second wave. So today we're going to talk, yes, about the age of plunder. Now, the deliberate discrediting of hydroxychloroquine. Now, this is a report that we might get into later, but I think at this point I'll get Clive on board, because my connection here hasn't been so good. Seem to be suffering from bad connection in the middle of the countryside here. Are you there, Clive?
Yeah, I'm here loud and clear, Mark.
Right, I understand why and what's happened. I'm actually speaking to through a handheld device, because the producers couldn't contact me on my studio. So that's why they couldn't hear me, probably, for the first couple of minutes. So I can hear you now, Clive. Yes, the age of plunder. We were going to talk about several things. I've got loads to talk about today. And your website, which is called, can you tell the listeners, please?
Outersite.org. That's outersite.org.
Great, yes. And, of course, you were part of the critical thinking group in the UK. And today, you had some things that, you wanted to bring up. And, yeah, well, let's talk about them then, Clive. So, what's first on your agenda today?
Well, in the age of plunder, it takes many, many shapes. And this COVID-19 psychological operation is, irrespective of Machiavellian intent, it's driven by plunder, as is everything else. So even if you disregard what people may or may not want to do with COVID in terms of manipulation, the whole thing is being driven by plunder. And I gather you mentioned the mask exemptions yesterday, and this is something that I caught up with yesterday as well. And I've been sharing templates for people to print out cards saying they are exempt, because to me, the masks are a step on the slippery slope towards total subjugation. And it's been bothering me for the last week or so since they announced that it was going to be mandatory to wear a mask. And I tried to get a note from the doctor, and they issued a notice saying that they're not required. I got that response yesterday. But on the TFL website, you are entitled to be exempt if putting on a mask will cause you severe distress. And I shared a video with you earlier that shows that for working regulations in the States, at least in a confined area, there must be at least 19.1% of oxygen in the atmosphere. When you wear a mask, the oxygen intake reduces to something around 17%. And normally it would be about 21%. So effectively, you're losing 20% of your oxygen by wearing a mask, aside from recycling all of the toxic waste that you would normally expel. And that's on top of the fact that if COVID exists as an independent virus, which is debatable, rather than being embedded in one's DNA, then it would measure approximately 1 micron. Even the most sophisticated medical masks will only trap particulates down to 3 microns. So whatever the masks are doing, they're not protecting you from COVID. They're reducing your oxygen intake. And they are this step on the road to something much deeper and darker. And it should not escape people's attention that COVID-19 is an acronym for Certificate of Vaccination ID, identification. And the goal is to not only vaccinate, but to tag and track everybody. They talk about tracing apps, but it's going to go beyond that because it's going to be linked into 5G and they will be able to program the RFID technology that's injected with the vaccines. So that's where they want to get to. And by wearing a mask, you're showing yourself as being compliant, either out of fear or just because you don't want to make waves. And the first test of our willingness to resist was the lockdown. And we saw how many meekly complied with all of the social distancing and all the rest of it. The application of masks in shops, transport, anywhere else is another test. And if we fail that test, then mandatory vaccinations are a shoo-in.
Well, we've covered all this, Clive, actually, the mask issue. And you can actually download a template that you just take onto the bus or the train with you. And it says, I'm exempt from wearing one. So basically, you can exempt yourself. And I think you can do that on planes as well. I mean, if you've got a health issue or you say you've got a health issue, then you don't have to wear a mask. So I think it's really up to the public. I mean, a lot of them are living and still in so much fear that they're going to wear them. Well, that's kind of up to them, but they shouldn't be inflicting it on everybody else. I mean, there's a lot of virtue signaling going on as well. They all like to be part of a group. And when they've got the mask on, they're part of a group. Ironically, last night, when the police were being attacked by this mob, the police were wearing the masks, the mob weren't. They were just smashing up the police car. So Basically, the Black Lives Matter agitation issue is actually working in the UK. So I think we're going to see some kind of civil unrest or riots, basically, these pointless riots, like the Tottenham riots, where it's just basically about destroying property. I think we could see that over the summer. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, this is all part of the plan. Destabilization, get people focusing on each other as being the source of their anger rather than actually realizing that it is the structure that is fomenting this. And you know, you've covered the way in which Black Lives Matter is funded, controlled, all of the agents provocateurs involved in these so-called riots. All revolutions are manipulated, whether you go back as far as the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, and all the color revolutions we've seen in recent years. Every one of them has resulted in something worse, and that is by design rather than by accident. But in talking about the Age of Plunder, what I wanted to explore a little was, How does plunder relate to mask wearing? And in my local market, there was an advertisement on Twitter saying that in the market are going to be face masks, Perspex face masks for £1 to keep you safe from COVID-19. Well,
we're coming up to the break. Hold that thought, Clive. I'm going to try and reconnect. We're still having a few problems here. I'm going to dial in to the studio. So, yes, join us after the break, everybody. This is Windows on the World. Windows on the World.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Windows coming to you from the UK. Today my guest is Clive Menzies, also from the UK. We are having a few technical problems here, so do bear with us. It should be all sorted out, hopefully, by next week. Having resided in the middle of nowhere, while I am now seeing the disadvantages. However, there are enormous advantages, but for you, dear listener, it has not been an easy ride, and for that I apologise. Clive, yes, I think we can get really going.
Right. Okay. So I was talking about the fact that Perspex masks are on sale in the market, and what it sort of throws into relief is all of the ways in which money is made from this process. So it's not just the masks and the people that sell the masks who are motivated to promote them and promote the fear. It's all the signage. If you travel on London Underground, which is the main transit system in London, then you see signage everywhere. And people have been paid to produce that. People have been paid to sell it. People have been paid to put it up. So there is this concept of plunder in everything that happens. And we even plunder each other. Which is why when we were talking last week, I was talking about this idea of how we decentralize the power of money and then the motivation to plunder disappears. But before doing that, we talked a bit about this process of totally encapturing everybody within the matrix of mandatory vaccination and RFID chips. And there was a story reported on by Ryan at Last American Vagabond about this woman who'd resigned in protest over what was happening over ID 2020. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, we could do, but we have covered this, Clive. Now, I think it's a very important point here in that what we're talking about here is these drones and technocrats. For anyone who did hear what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, that's really where I was going with this, to kind of introduce what you were going to talk about. Because when you see these people who are inflicting these policies and these basically forming what is going to be policies through these organizations such as the UN and, of course, this ID 2020 Alliance, you realize that you're talking about a corporate structure. And when you start talking about things as the industry and you're dealing biometric, you have a sort of ethical kind of debate going on. And that's what I was talking about with Sandy Adams yesterday. We went into the whole of this, the artificial intelligence agenda, and of course, going into this transhumanism idea. And this is where it starts to get very interesting to me, because there seems to be something missing in the people who are bringing this in. Either they are very ignorant of what they're doing, or they're very disconnected. And that's what I was thinking about when I was listening to that report earlier on. Now, the thing is that there must be lots of people who find this very unethical, and they are probably not happy about doing it. But how many people are just jobsworths anyway? You know, jobsworths will actually always do their job. So there's a huge percentage of them, I believe, working in the UN, because the UN is a very kind of incestuous structure. A lot of people get jobs in there because of people they know. They bring their friends in, then they get higher up. And of course, they're absolutely run by lobbyists, same as the World Health Organization. So, yeah, it's an interesting point, but I don't think, to me, it was very surprising that someone's resigned from this ID 2020, because one major point is also that I don't think people are very organised like that.
Sorry, I missed the last thing you said, Mark.
I don't think these people are very good or organised at what they're doing, and I think that also has to be taken into consideration.
Well, I think there are several layers to this, and I think the overall plan and trajectory is undoubtedly to tag everybody on the planet. In terms of the article that alerted us to the fact that this woman had resigned, talks about all the dangers of the blockchain. And what it does, it deliberately conflates in people's mind. If our thesis is correct, that centralized money is driving all of this, and decentralized money will begin to solve our problems by changing the environment, then obviously if you're a beneficiary of centralized power, then you don't want decentralized money. So I regard these sorts of what appear to be oppositional movements or indications very much as being orchestrated by the authors of this. And the reason that they can get away with it is because most people have very little understanding of the blockchain, Bitcoin, decentralized distributed ledger technology, etc., because it's a lot of jargon. But what one needs to, the essential thing to understand, and I pointed to a video that James Corbett did a while back before, I think, the Bitcoin PSYOP. And basically, he explains the difference between Bitcoin, which is one manifestation of the blockchain, which has been a speculative success, but probably not the basis of a long-term future. And then you have the blockchain.
That's
on
great,
which
Clive. We'll pick that up after the break. Thanks a lot. This is Windows on the World. Yep, we're having another break now, and we will be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Had a bit of a dropout there, everybody. I think we're back in full swing now. So we're talking to Clive Menzies today. Well, myself and Clive are talking, and we're coming to you from the UK, where it's actually the hottest day of the year. Hottest day of the year today. So I think we've got Clive still on the line. Are you there? Are you there, Clive?
Yeah, I am.
Great, because we're now on our other system. Yes, please do.
Okay. So what James Corbett explains in that video is that Bitcoin is not the same as the blockchain. Bitcoin uses the blockchain. It's on the blockchain. And then there are other characteristics which determine what sort of network or blockchain we're talking about. And if we're talking about encrypted or unencrypted, but more importantly, whether it's permissioned or unpermissioned. And an unpermissioned blockchain is under nobody's control. And what the central banks are trying to foist on people And what this ID initiative is all about is centralized control. So these will be permissioned and controlled blockchains, whereas what we're looking to advocate and what is already happening through Simple Ledger Protocol, there's a lot of people putting a lot of money behind these sorts of initiatives, which actually create distributed blockchains where there is no central control, and that it has resilience because of its distributed nature.
Ah, the word resilience, but real resilience this time, not the UN kind of resilience. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, it'd be good to actually have this kind of decentralized monetary system. That would be fantastic. Do you think it's actually possible to do this, though?
Well, the great thing is that it's already happening, and that's what we described in that paper, The Age of Plunder. And essentially, there are powerful forces that are driving the decentralization of money, because in fiat money trying to control everything, they've created obstacles for people to try and get around. And the primary example was the Unlawful Internet Gambling Act in 2006, which made it illegal to accept transfers for gambling purposes online. And so working within the...
Yes, I think we brought that up on the last show, actually, Clive. Yeah,
we did. So it's not just money that is being distributed. I think I talked a bit about distributed data. And I've now had these weather stations that I put up that are part of this sort of global network of independent weather stations. And it's this sort of data that we can begin to build from the ground up. And that gives us access, open access to knowledge, which actually enables us to self-organize and access the means to life ourselves, rather than having to rely on authority, their lies and deception, and become dependent. The important resilience is the inverted word they use to mean something quite different. What we're talking about is the resilience that we see in nature. It is the, if you like, spontaneous relationships between all the organisms in the undergrowth of a forest, for example, that create the magic of a forest. And it's the same everywhere in nature.
Well, that's a very good point, Clive, because yesterday I was talking about all this, and basically when you go out into nature, you can realize there's no such thing as artificial intelligence. And this actually goes into areas that I've been thinking about a long time. That's why I pulled in and at this point, because it also goes into these sort of belief systems. A lot of these sort of people who were trying to decode the universe and calling it Gnosticism actually have got completely the wrong end of the stick, in my opinion, because if you look at what's around you, the thought of you being able to decode it in say numbers or geometry or however they're trying to do it is absolutely absurd. And I think it's about as absurd as these people who are trying to turn everything into artificial intelligence, because you can't have artificial intelligence. You've got intelligent design in nature. That's a word that they use, or two words they use. But the people who are into intelligent design actually go against creationism. Why can't you have them all sort of as one big idea? Because basically, we don't know anything. And creationism is actually more likely than Darwinism, you know. So basically, people out there might disagree with that, but I've read all the books and I've come to this conclusion that we know very little. And these people who put themselves up as experts are anything but. Of course, we get this all the time. Experts agree. Well, what do they agree on? And scientists agree, or experts. These people are no more experts about what they're talking about than anybody else. Most of them know nothing. And so experts have been absolutely overused. And yes, the idea of getting away from all this stuff is paramount and important. I do feel sorry about most. You've got a lot of work, and a lot of people are not doing that with this sort of idea of the hive mind, the big communitarian global system, but some of us won't do that. And what I'm seeing is that there is a large group of people who won't. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think the there is a graying awareness that actually is gathering momentum. So you have, in effect, forces that are converging that are actually moving in our direction or in our favor. So on the one hand, you have self-interested yes. forces in the economic system that are driving decentralization. And then at the same time, you're having a growing challenge to authorize narratives from a growing body of people who are actually beginning to interact and create circles of trust and understanding that are beginning to resonate. And we talked in critical thinking a few years ago, we looked quite deeply into the concept of resonance, because one of the sort of favorite sayings of the naysayers that, you know, we cannot change this, is that it's just too big a task. But actually, the concept of resonance is very powerful. And if you know anything about it, it's when two bodies vibrate at the same frequency and they create much bigger waves. And there's a certain amount of academic and, if you like, empirical proof of this idea that actually you don't need 7.6 billion people to actually understand what's going on. You need a very small fraction of that, because that small number, even if it were less than a million, would resonate so strongly that it would have a dramatic effect on the whole.
Well, it's about the conviction of the people who are actually doing it. I mean, one or two people, if they've got conviction, can achieve a lot more than 100 who haven't. It's very, very simple. And when you look at the kind of way that this is set up, if you look at those drones of the UN, I don't know whether people could hear me at the beginning of the show. We did have a problem with the connection. But basically, I was getting to the point that these people are so dull and dreary, and they all spout this same word salad that they've been given. And they have no flair for anything, no imagination, which is why they're working in this hierarchical kind of jobs for life, or basically jobs through their friends. None of these people are experts. None of them really know what they're talking about. They are not even influencers. They call these people influencers. They even refer to them as future leaders. These people couldn't lead anything. So what you're saying is quite important. But what I would say is that people with very strong conviction can change things, and they have a habit of doing it. And if you look at history, this has happened. But of course, we are up against a system which is deceitful, it's full of tyrants, and it's run by liars and opportunists. So we have to realize that most of these people who they're putting up there are really, apart from being disingenuous, in my opinion, they are incompetent. And there is no excuse for incompetence. Incompetence must be outed, in my opinion. I think we've got Tom in Florida. Are you still there, Tom?
Yes, sir. Gentlemen, good day to you. Good day. Well, listen,
hi, Tom.
Mark. Oh, good. Mark, I just saw Stuart Varney here on Fox about 2 hours ago, and I want you guys to know this first off, that 90% of all the professors in these universities in the United States are liberal. They're controlled, 60% of them are Jewish, Zionist, the professors. They only make up 2%, 3% of the population of the United States, but they control 90% of the, 60% of the professorships in these universities and these colleges. 90% of them are liberal, lily white liberals. And what's happening here now is these kids, and now you look at all these Antifa and these Black Lives Matter and all that, they've been sucked into the brainwash of the mayor of Georgia, Atlanta, is black. The police chief of Atlanta is black. All these cities in the United States mainly have black police chiefs in the inner cities, and our mayors are black. But they want to keep blaming whitey, whitey, whitey. It's like a John Travolta movie years ago called, like I told Michael last night, White Man's Burden. There's a white man's burden on society. And by the way, the Jews in Israel are breeding like flies. They're literally trying to breed each Jewish woman, Zionist woman, to have 8 to 7 babies. Did you hear about that?
Well, this is crazy. I know. I've studied the whole thing, Tom. I've studied the whole history of Israel, how it was set up, who set it up, what happened. from the beginnings of Palestine in 1948, Balfour Declaration, of course, when you had the Haganah and the Irgun who were killing the British. And ever since then, we have had this rather unfortunate partnership, in my opinion. And it's something that is absolutely British. Unfortunately, it has become a major part of the British kind of institution. And we have this partnership with something which, in my opinion, is entirely destructive. But going back to the beginning of the show, Mark, if you more or less tweet anything that is true about... Go on.
Mark, I want to say this.
Sorry, Tom, I just lost you.
The slave ships were financed by the Jews to come to the United States from England and France. All those ships were built by, financed by the House of Rothschild. You never hear about that. You only hear how about bad white he was. Well, let me tell you, like I told you in the past, the blacks were killing each other in Africa at astronomical rates back in the 1600s, okay? So who's kidding who here? And all we hear is about how bad white he is. I am so fed up with this nonsense.
Well, I think loads of people are, Tom.
Look what they're doing today,
it's a psychological... Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Tom, but it's a psychological warfare operation. And it's all they're trying to do is create division and wind us all up. And they do succeed at times. But the point is that what we're seeing here is an operation on us and everybody else. I mean, yes, there is an operation on Europeans. There's no doubt about it, because that's the whole point of the UN Migration Compact, is to destroy nation states. That's the whole point of it. This is what they want. And the fourth world wilderness, the wilderness of the mind. We see the wilderness of the mind everywhere, especially in Britain. I see it every time I go out. But I think the point is here that we need to be clever in our strategy, the way we deal with what's being thrown at us, Tom.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, it seems like the Queen of England's let everybody, the Anglos, down, because she's allowing the Muslims to move in. The most popular name in London is Mohammed. I mean, this is absurd. We got white traitors. There's no question about it. Well, what's going on really, too, now is they're taking the Lincoln Memorial down after this guy gave them Emancipation Proclamation, and now they want to tear the statue down. And today Trump has sent in the National Guard to defend these monuments here in the United States. And I am so tired of hearing about reparations. Reparations, only 99% of the white people in this country never owned slaves or their families. It's all absurd. And it's a takedown of white European culture. And look what you know, Mark, where's the protest for all the white Americans who've been murdered by illegal aliens? Why are white people going out and burning cities down for all the white Americans who've been murdered by illegal aliens, which is in the thousands? In the thousands. This guy Floyd was a drug dealer.
Well, exactly. But if you want to talk about that, Tom, we can go back to the 1600s and we can go to the Poor Laws and the Workhouse Act. I mean, the Workhouse Act was only abolished in the 1800s. And that was basically where they put paupers. And if you were a pauper, then you went in the workhouse and you worked till you died. That is slavery. And a lot of this is not understood or even talked about. There's this general idea that is implanted into people that there was poor people put on these on galleons rowing and stuff like that, and this is where the slave trade came from. The whole thing is completely kind of insane. And when you sort of look at the real history of it, then you get a totally different perspective. But there's no perspective, Tom. There's no perspective going on. That's the whole point. No actual reality.
Mark, in 1865, the black slave who lived on the plantation in the United States lived better than any African in Africa in 1865. Any black that was living on a plantation picking cotton lived 10 times better than they would have lived in Africa. They still didn't even have cities in Africa, Mark. In 1865, they didn't know what a city was. They lived in huts. Who's kidding who here? Was there any cities? Was there a South Africa in 1865? Was there any cities that actually were cities in Africa in 1865, Mark? Was there a New York in Africa?
Well, there was settlements, and I think a lot of it came later. But we're going to have to move on, Tom, because I think Clive's getting a bit left out here. But thanks for your call.
You got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. No, it's great stuff. I mean, you can see that the sentiment of people out there, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people really passionate about this, quite rightly so. But what I think we've got to do is we have to keep our powder dry, because we're up against very clever and devious enemies here. And that is something that's been apparent to me for a long time. And what I try and do is put out the way in which this works. And most of this stuff is working to a template. So, yes, yeah, let's skip the break due to the tech problems. I think we're actually on a roll here now. It's taken about half an hour, and the show's only an hour long. So I hope you've stuck with us at Windows on the World, at Windows Towers here in an undisclosed location in the middle of the Kent countryside. I'm talking to Clive Menzies today, and we're talking really about solutions, or we should be talking about solutions. We're really talking about the age of plunder. Everything's been taken from us. How do we get some back? So, Clive, I hope you're still there. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I wouldn't mind picking up briefly on what Tom said, because obviously slavery is another manifestation of plunder. But I think it's well worth looking at the story of Tony Martin, who was a Black History professor who came across a book called The Secret Relationship Between Jews and Blacks. And he taught it in his classes and wrote a book about it. And he was hounded and eventually died. Under what circumstances, who knows? But I think this whole cultural idea that has emerged from universities that Tom referred to as liberalism actually was also fermented. As we know, the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 was fermented by Wall Street and money power. And there's a defector called Yuri Bezmenov who's done a video where he explains how his job was to influence and indoctrinate Marxism into academic circles. And basically, that's the legacy that we have in universities today. And I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as liberalism rather than being brainwashed into ignorance. But that's where we come back to the solutions. That essentially, we have ideological battles between left and right. So this is primarily a conservative broadcasting station. But as long as we're battling left and right, or one religion versus another, blacks versus whites, whatever it may be, any sort of division is blinding us to the reality that we're driven by the structure, and we need to address the structure. And the primary structure which runs the world is money.
Well, I think that's a very obvious thing, Clive. I've been talking about that. I've been talking about it on the show. I mean, most of this stuff is a psychological operation. So once you fall into one side, then you're pitted against the other. It's quite simple, and it's the way that the intelligence services work. And I learned about this stuff a long time ago, because when I was at the People's Voice, a TV station that lasted about 6 months, which was based in London, it was heavily infiltrated with all this stuff, and I was demonized through a lot of different websites, and I found out who was doing it. And guess what? Yeah, it was a public-private partnership between the security services and private interests. And I found out who was running websites that run this sort of stuff. I found out that they work to a template. It's all hierarchical. And the point is that, yes, the idea, I suppose, is that you get above that and you work on a different level, which is where I find it most interesting. Because yeah, once you engage in this lower level stuff, then you are actually giving yourself away. You're giving your power away. Sounds a bit of a cliche, that, but I think it's actually true, because this is an interesting thing about the dynamic of, say, protest. I remember when we used to have real protests, things like the poll tax riots in the 80s in the UK, pretty serious stuff. I mean, whole of central London smashed to pieces, basically. And then Margaret Thatcher had to back down, the poll tax abolished. Of course, it's kind of still to do with council control. We won't go into that. We'll one day, actually. It's a very interesting thing, from the poor laws to the council tax. Very interesting. Very interesting part of British history, that. But what I would say is that when you take a side, see, it's like when you watch a riot, there's one outcome. The rioters ultimately lose. The state wins. So it's always pointless. So don't riot, something else. A riot is a way of energy harvesting. It's a way of exhausting the people who are rioting. So they exhaust themselves, waste their time, smash up property, and basically ruin their own neighbourhoods. Sounds a very pointless thing to do when you see it on paper. But when people's emotions are triggered, and that's all we've seen with Black Lives Matter, that's all we see with this Antifa nonsense, it's about the triggering of emotion. And it's all done through some stupid kind of mechanism, which we are all susceptible to. So we are all easily triggered. I mean, this is quite an interesting thing about anger as well, because the more people get traumatized, the more angrier they get. And that is an absolutely fundamental point, a very important one. because I've met a lot of people over the years who've had post-traumatic stress disorder. And that is a thing that when people get absolutely triggered over nothing, and that triggering can end up with someone dying, stabbed or shot, basically, right? So the point is that this manifestation of intelligence is very, very important. And this is, I think, what needs to be applied, because while we're angry about this stuff, we're just getting played, aren't we, Clive?
Exactly. I mean, the whole critical thinking methodology was based on always trying to engage with the other to find out why they think the way they think. And what if you look at the followers on Twitter of the F Critical Think Twitter account, they are such a wide bunch, from the far left to the far right, every manner of political complexion. But what they all share is a desire to understand what is actually going on. And they share an antipathy to what they're being told to do. And I think that is just growing. I see it everywhere. I tend not to see it in the street much, but occasionally I come across individuals. But I do get a sense among more and more people that they are beginning to question, because let's not forget that this collapsing of the economy under COVID, I think, has been to some extent forced on them. Although it's been long in the planning, I think they are implementing it earlier than they would have liked to have done, or they would have liked. I'm sure they wanted to do it as early as possible, but I think it's taken much longer for them to put the pieces in place. I mean, this has been going on for centuries, but arguably the last 120 years have been a crucial step-by-step process. And this phase four in the war on us all seems to be an act of desperation rather than something that's rather more measured. And you mentioned earlier about how incompetent they were. I think the problem is that the pace is being driven at a rate that not everybody is keeping up with the program, as it were.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I don't really know what to add to that. It seems to be very sensible to me. But yes, it's an interesting kind of time, because what I'm seeing is that people who have like minds are coming together more than they used to, actually, because before it was like, well, there's no rush, we can do it and we can do it some other time. But now there's a little bit of urgency involved, because we are in times which are starting to parallel the end of days, you know. But in Britain, exactly, it's sunny, people are out, there's people all over the country going to the beach, even though that's so selfish. People going to the beach, people go there, it's so selfish, you know. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, the level of the manipulation, though, isn't it, Clive? Because it's kind of on a level that it's less than childish. It's kind of, it's not even just to trigger people, it's just that people who've bought into this, it's like, I think I mentioned it on a show the other day, I went to the supermarket and there was a lady behind me in a mask, you know, and she was actually furious because I wasn't wearing one, and neither was the cashier, and she looked so angry, you know. She's probably thinking, you're so selfish, I'm suffering here.
Well, yeah,
we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, Clive, we've run out of time.
All right, all the best, cheers.
Thanks, Clive. See you tomorrow, everybody. Same time. Winners on the World.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military. military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.